Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TVCJcast. I'm Joel, joined by David McDonald, munching on a delicious Trader Joe's burrito.
Fucking great.
It is Thursday, the 11th of July, 2024. This is episode 318. This could be an historic episode, David.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much stuff happening at the moment in the UK. A new government. We've got Zack Sabre Jr. on the verge of bringing it home. Mm-hmm. G1 Climax Glory.
Yep.
And, just whisper it.
It
might be coming home. We got questions. This is a question on everyone's lips. We had the question from at Super Jacob.
Oh!
Yes. That's our guy, Jacob Austin Young. Well, that's a name I've not heard for a while, Damon.
Yeah.
Everyone's forgotten about him. Remember that brilliant match he had with Ren Narita?
I sure do.
Japan Strong. Someone should give him a call.
Give him a call. Jacob
Austin Young asked me, is it coming home? Now, you watched some of the England-Netherlands game?
I did.
As a neutral, how are we looking?
This motherfucker's coming home, dude. And let me be very clear with this. So, I knew the game was on, but I didn't watch the first half because I got sidetracked with work obligations. Texted our group editor, Dan, the great job. And I was like, how we doing? I believe my exact quote was, are we pooping our pants yet? because I did get wind of score, tied at the half. And the confidence was high. I felt like the confidence coming back was pretty high. And I like that. I like that. And I specifically said, hey, if I put on this game, because again, everybody knows my fucking office setup. I have a TV, a fucking 52-inch TV mounted to my wall right in front of my fucking face. Can I put the game on? Because I did not want to be the jinx. Got the all clear. Everything good. And then, that goal is pretty impressive, right? The game winner, again, creating space for himself, popping it right in the corner, boom, away we go. I don't know, dude. Like,
again, hey, can I just jump in? That guy, Ollie Watkins, is local to where I teach. He went to primary school just down the road from where I teach.
No way.
So this morning, everyone's coming in like, oh, yeah, my mum used to play football with him. One of my colleagues was in the year below him at secondary school, so he's a rootin' tootin' Newton Abbott boy, so that just made it a little bit special. Even though he is also an Aston Villa player and like pretty much fucked up Arsenal season by scoring a not dissimilar goal to basically kill off our title chances, but I've forgiven him.
Yeah,
I've forgiven him after what he did last night.
Yeah, free pass, free fucking pass. Charles like, oh yeah, I know him. I used to blow him in the fucking parking lot. Kidding. Of course, you weren't there. Totally on the other side of the world. Yeah, no.
Tell you what, if he scores in the final and helps us win it, then that offer's open.
All right. Now we're talking. All right. I think all of England will be fucking clunging heads to get in this gag. Right now, this is a historic moment for England national team, correct? Like, you have not gotten to the finals away from England, mind you, in quite a while, right?
Ever.
Wow.
Ever. We've never been in a final outside of the UK.
Okay. So how does this impact the coach that you obviously cannot stand? And a lot of people...
I don't know. I still think... I don't want to put myself in a got to hand it to ISIS situation here. I think he's been very fortunate to have a very favourable, to be on the favourable side of the bracket and play against some, I would say, comparatively weak teams.
All right.
And he sort of bumbled his way into figuring out some of the issues with the team and just fixing them one by one, where I would like a more dynamic and proactive manager to be able to preempt that stuff or sort of recognise game state and make those changes in the middle of the match rather than us playing an entire match dog shit and then maybe tweaking something for the next match. But whatever. I mean, gift horse in the mouth. We are exceeding my expectations at this point. We're getting better. That yesterday was our best performance so far and we look okay. We're difficult to beat. As what I said last time, I think one of the key to be successful in an international tournament is you've got to be hard to beat.
Right.
And then you need those little sparks, those little flashes of brilliance at those clutch moments, which we are starting to deliver, whether that's guys like Jude Bellingham or Harry Kane, Bukayo Saka, Ollie Watkins delivering very late on after we've gone behind. Us suddenly being amazing at penalty shootouts now. That's a new and refreshing development. So you never know. Spain look much stronger than us.
All right.
And put the gun to my head. They'll probably beat us quite comfortably, but it's a final. Yeah. You never know.
Anything can happen.
And to be honest, right, I've had my fun, right? We've had a great, I say great run. It's been a memorable run with some great moments. We're like WWE. We're WrestleMania. We don't deliver good matches, but we deliver the moments.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had my fun at this point. Going into Sunday, not expecting anything, but it would be the funniest outcome if we somehow managed to shithouse our way to beating Spain and annoying the rest of the planet.
Everyone, right? Yeah. I'm all for it. I'm fucking all for it. Can I ask you this? Is this so? Truth be told, it's not like a massive thing on the U.S. sports radar, right? It's there. Ancillary, but it's not a big.
You got corporate America going on right now.
Yeah, did you see that brawl? It was like
I did. Yeah,
what was that? Fucking what was that? Come on,
that was extremely funny, featuring Liverpool player Darwin Nunez, who has got a bit of a reputation for under pressure not being able to hit a cow's ass with a banjo, trying to throw a chair into the crowd and missing completely, which is extremely on brand.
I didn't see that. I was just like, what the fuck is happening here? And they're like, well, we wanted to protect our families. I was like, there is not a fucking kid in 20 yards from where this action is taking place. Yeah, fucking ridiculous. Okay, whatever. That being said, what is the temperature in England right now? Like, this is a big deal, right? Correct?
Yeah, it's massive. Everyone's talking about it.
I love it.
Our students at school tomorrow are allowed to dress up in red and white to celebrate the fact that we've made the final.
Let's go. Yep.
I tell you, man, if I'm in a bit of a lose-lose situation here with the match being on Sunday night, because I'm either going into work on Monday grumpy and sad or extremely hungover.
You know, I don't.
But I've had lots of kids saying, like, oh, my mum and dad said that if England win, I can have I can't remember what they call it, like a free day or something.
Sure.
Like, basically, they're gonna get the day off school. Yeah. I think they should announce it a national holiday. I think they might. Who knows? You know, we've got a brilliant new prime minister who's just changed things around.
Yeah.
That's tongue in cheek.
As the teacher,
yeah,
as
huge.
All right. Well, as the teacher, as the head of the class, if you will, if they win, here's what you do. Wheel out the old fucking, I don't know. You have a TV with like a connection to like a fire stick or some shit. And I would just put on movies, dude. I'd be like, all right, kids, we're watching Back to the Future or whatever the fuck.
You know what I mean? Here's the thing, right? We've got scheduled for Monday. We do this thing called World Explorer Day, where we have like a theme day based on a particular country. We do all activities related to that country. Mm-hmm. So we've got one arranged on Monday about St. Lucia.
What?
Who the fuck cares about them? Right. It should be England Day. If yeah. England win, I'm taking over and I'm making it England Day.
Love it. Love it. St. Lucia.
We're going to take the kids out of class. We're going over the road. We're going to Wetherspoons. Going down the pub. We're having full English breakfasts, roast dinners, shepherd's pie.
Fuck yeah.
Pints.
Yes.
Pints of beer, pints of cider, and doing it the English way.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, that is the answer. That, you know what, you would be, here's the thing. Let's be very clear. If, again, obviously we're not taking minors to a pub to get them all fucking toasted, but like to kind of take elements of what you suggested, like they're going to remember that for the rest of their lives. Like they're going to be like, oh my God, do you remember when Mr. Abraham was fucking so happy that England won and we all fucking hung? Like that is shit that they will remember for the rest of their lives, and rightfully so. Joel, I'm 1,000% serious. Lean into that shit. Like if they win, go all fucking them. Like that whole school day is fucking let's party. Bring soda, bring fucking whatever. Bring a fucking sausage pie, whatever the fuck. I don't know.
What?
You like sausage pies, right? Like pie, sausages. We're mixing them together. We're doing it all. Putting them all in one. That's the move. I think it's a great idea. Great idea. I'm starving. Got any sausage pies anywhere? Starving.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing. I think they should invent it. What do they got? So they got sausage rolls. Is it a roll?
Sausage roll, yes. Okay. Pork pie. The closest I would give you to sausage pie would be, are you familiar with the bakery Greggs?
Yes.
Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Right, so Greggs, they do something that's a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine. I'm quite partial to it. It's called sausage, cheese, and baked bean slice.
Oh, come on.
So it's like a kind of pie crust, that sort of pastry.
Yep.
Which is kind of short crust, flaky, crispy, hot pastry.
Yep.
And then inside it's like this all melty, gooey, cheesy goodness with like slices of sausage and baked beans. And
yeah,
I love it.
Dude, you could have said like, and then I come in it and I'd be like, yep, sounds fantastic. Oh my God. Yeah.
Gave one to Arthur last month. He fucking loved it as well.
I bet he fucking lost his mind. He's like, what is, what? This is a thing? Yeah. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Really does. Although I will say this, I have a massive craving right now for fried chicken. Oh, I would kill for some fucking fried chicken right now. Let me ask you this. I don't know who's talking to me. Never mind. I was like,
okay.
No, because I was like, do I want to get into this? Because I'm dealing with an issue and I might need Joel's worldly advice on this one. Can I ask you this? Let's say that during a day that Mally, like, you kind of feel like something's off, right? Something's not right. Something's weird with her, whatever. And you ask her, hey, everything cool? You all right? Yeah, everything fine.
Yeah, you've automatically fucked up because by not knowing what's wrong, you're making it worse.
Good point.
But please continue.
Good point. Okay. So, but you're making the effort, right? And you might do that once, twice, and then after that, you're just like, all right, well, okay, whatever. You get to bed. You're all snuggled up underneath the comforters and blankets, if you will. Air conditioning's on. Everything's great. You're ready to doze off into Never Never Land. Why is it then, at that very moment, that she brings up the issues that have been bothering her all fucking day, and now you're expected to be, oh, I have to be awake and listen to this nonsense and care. And
was it your fault? Was it something that you
did? No.
Okay. Well, no. I take that as a minor W, because it could have been worse. It could have been something that you did wrong.
I didn't do anything.
If it was, then your whole night is fucked up. It's ruined. But if something unrelated to you, yeah, I know. You have to listen, or at least pretend to listen.
All right.
And help.
So are you the type of gentleman that tries to give solutions to said problems?
It depends. I think I will sometimes ask, do you want advice or solutions, or do you just want to vent? And a lot of the time it's just the latter. So then I just have to do my emotional intelligence thing and reflect, mirror all those opinions back at her, and just sort of provide that outlet for her to get things off her chest in a sympathetic and understanding way that acknowledges her feelings without... men could do that sometimes. You know, we do that, don't we, where we're just trying to offer solutions. Well, why don't you do this? You could do this. You could do this.
Yes.
Sometimes that's not what people want to hear. Sometimes they just want you to go, yeah, that's... sucks.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. I mean, I could probably do that more. What if you don't give a shit? How do
that's a gift.
Fake
it? Of course
it?
You don't give a
okay,
shit.
Right. Okay. Good. Okay. All right. Yeah. That was me last night. And as we all know, we have listened to this show many times, I might take some sleep medication to help this crazy head of mine. And I have a very short window, 20 minutes at best. So here's what happened. So I knew something was up. And I was like, you're good, right? Here we go. I've already taken said medication. We're in bed. Well, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. I'm like, okay, great. And it's the same fucking shit that I've been hearing for years. So don't, it's nothing new. So I'm like,
I'm curious now. I want to know what it was.
I mean, I don't know if I don't want to spill her beans, you know what I mean? But like, let's just leave it as medical things freak her out. Like as much as me flying, medical things she's not comfortable with. So we went through a battery of tests, like literally. Joel, when I tell you 20 tests, again, we started at the top of the most serious and we've gone down this said list. We're literally at ingrown toenail level. And I suggested maybe you do X test because, again, it's going to show that opened up an entire can of worms. And I'm like, okay, all right, great. And again, this is all within the 20-minute window of Ambien. So I started to doze off. And I may have, said incoherent things because that's what happens when you're on a fucking controlled substance. I get, what, you're going to sleep? We're not done. I'm like, whoa, okay. let me perk up here. Yeah, while I'm on this fucking medication. What do you right? So I apparently didn't give the answers that she wanted to hear, and she went downstairs and all this whole fucking thing. And I'm like, this feels like rookie marriage things. Like this feels like, again, I felt like, oh my God. Like I feel like I'm a rookie at this point, because look. Are there any 20-year-old girls listening? I'm ready to trade it in. I'm ready. Please, anyone? No? Please? All right. But that's – yeah. So, but I'm like, So this morning I addressed it. I was like, I'm not letting this fucking lie. Let me ask you this. Does Mally remember things that have happened literally maybe the night before in her version of the truth? Whereas it's not necessarily what happened. Is that a thing?
I think that's a fairly universal experience.
Okay. Fair. Good. I'm very glad. Because I'm like listening to this nonsense and I'm like, that is absolutely not what happened. Here's what happened. I'm fading away, ready to go to sleep, and you got angry at the fact that I am falling asleep. Supposedly to listen to you.
You're in a hide into nothing there. It doesn't, the actual truth doesn't matter. We're living correct. In a post-truth world. Perception is reality.
Right.
So at that point, it doesn't matter if you're correct. You just have to try and make her feel better.
Right. And you know I'm not good at that. Right? You know I'm not good at
that. I mean, I'm on your side here. You've taken a controlled substance, so it wasn't something that you did out of choice. You were physically unable to
thank you.
Provide the listening ear she needed. So he says, look, I'm really sorry, darling. This is very important to me as well, but the medicine I've just taken is making it impossible for me to stay awake. Yeah. Let's discuss this first thing tomorrow morning.
You know what? Can you do me a favor? Can I text you in the middle of the night? Be like, can you
read but of course, this? If this sort of thing happened to me, I wouldn't say that. I'd just be like, oh, I'm tired.
Shut the fuck up. Right. I just hate the fact that it's like then. Like, why then? You had all day. Literally, we were sitting on the same couch. By the way, I'm playing Batman. Is it Arkham City?
Arkham City, yeah. Or Arkham Asylum. They're both.
Yeah. Might be Asylum. Might be Asylum.
Both games that exist. Are you in the Asylum or are you in a city?
Well, I'm in a city currently. Like,
okay, so you're probably playing Arkham City then.
It's great. I am enjoying it thoroughly, but I need, once again, we're in the world of, I hate video games where I don't know what the fuck to do. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, we're in a level, like, what the fuck do I gotta do? I don't know. But, like, okay, like, oh, I all of a sudden got this special ability. It's probably related to the special ability. I got to fucking – but like – so I'll watch videos, get me to a certain point, and then I'll kind of replicate what needs to be done. And I do have it on easiest setting. All right. Can I ask you this? Do you have trouble with remembering – what button is X? Which button is B? Which button is A? I still do. I'm terrible.
Yes.
Okay.
It sort of becomes instinctive at that point. Like when you get to like the quick time events where it's like, oh, you got to press this button quickly. I'm a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get very stressed out over it. I do. Because I don't know. And one time I was playing, it was kind of dark in the room. And I'm like, I used my phone to light up my fucking, because I couldn't see which button was what. I couldn't remember. So yes, in my Steam library, I have that Batman game. I just bought, what the fuck is it called? Ghostwire, is it? Ghostwire Tokyo, is it? That looked really cool.
Okay, yeah.
That looked really fucking cool. So I literally – and here's the problem. Steam has a sale in the summer, and a lot of games that were in my wish list have been heavily discounted. So that – what else do I have in there? I have that vampire game that I still play because it's easy. Like literally, I'm just getting out of everybody's way. I can handle that. What else? Battletech I have. The Warhammer game I have. So they have this thing called Tabletop Simulator, and you play regular old board games like Clue and Monopoly and all that nonsense on a board. Like it's replicating a board, like a table. So I'm kind of trying to learn that, but it's like everything's so fucking difficult, dude. Like here's the problem. If I press, I want to play this game, game X, I just want to play the fucking game. And the thing that I struggle with a lot is the one of the games I downloaded was Yakuza 5. So again, if you remember back, Joel, we had a special chat with a person who recommended Yakuza to me. Do you remember that?
Yes, I think so.
He currently lives in Japan.
Yes.
Yes. So I was like, all right, yeah, great. This rules. And so I was like, all right, let me get it for the fucking Steam. I remembered why it like didn't connect with me as hard as I wanted it to, because getting from point A to point B, there is a lot of cinematic things going on, right? I'm not doing anything. I'm literally watching a movie. And you know me, that my attention span is that of a fucking flea. And I'm like, come on, can I do something? Can I kill somebody? Can I fight somebody? Can I fucking stick something up somebody's ass? Can I do something? And it takes a little bit to get there. But I do like it. Here's the thing. I feel like in my older age, I'm enjoying video games much more than I did when I was younger. Weird, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. The inverse tends to be the case, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. All right, I'm sorry. I wasted 25 minutes. What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's have a look and see what we've got on the docket today. We've got New Japan Soul. We've got Fantastic Mania USA right around the corner. We have a few little news tidbits. Mm-hmm. We've got someone fishing for a bit of pastrami.
Oh, we want to start there? You want to start there? Because we Matthew got pastrami.
You're getting a little... Well...
What?
Is this pastrami? I'm not even going to say whether it's pastrami. This could just be my intuition. I'm not going to say either way. But Matthew says, any pastrami sandwiches about Royal Quest this year?
Yep.
So I'm not even going to say whether or not this is pastrami. This might be a bit of roast beef. You never know. But I would say, seeing as it was such a success last year, I would have thought so.
Hmm.
I would love that. I think that would be something I would bet.
The house? On,
being a likelihood, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Around that time of year, same time of year, September.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Maybe Copper Box again? Mm. I hope so.
I would. I'll
see all of you guys there, my UK-based fans.
How about that?
Get the pints in.
Yeah.
Pizza, ciders. Yes, please.
Yes. I love it. Yeah. I mean, start saving
It's not a confirmation.
No.
I just think it would be a good idea, mm-hmm. and I think it's likely to happen.
Yeah. I mean, save your pounds, if you will. Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's something that we all could look forward to. How about that? And you know, just kind of keep your money aside. You know, save a couple. Save your money. Yeah. Yes. All right. Yes. What else? Are we going to go down the list?
If you were a patron of the deli. A customer, a deli customer. You would have known this ages ago, but it's been confirmed that Shane Haste has re-signed, not resigned, re-signed with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
A bit fishing around there. You know, he was leaking his contractual status, but he is sticking around.
That's good news. Honestly, that's good news. I mean, I know we had some ancillary New Japan Pro Wrestlers / free agents that... have left the fold, if you will, off to more Connecticut-y pastures, right? But let's be very clear. Nobody really gives a shit. You know what? I will say this. The women's strong division was something that I definitely – maybe I wouldn't say look forward to, but when it was on, it always delivered. And I think the issue is that if they were serious about it, this wouldn't have happened. But someone's thought.
It did sound like she went about it in a quite unprofessional way.
A little bit, right? A little bit. I mean, it felt like it was a shock to everybody, and then it was scrambled to throw at a...
Stephanie Vaquer we're talking about.
That is correct. Yes, please. Everyone knows. But yes. Yeah, it did feel like it was a bit of a... Here's the thing. Like, obviously, these young ladies and gentlemen that are at that level are not signed. Right. So they can do whatever the fuck they want to do in the sense of, hey, if you feel like your career needs to go in that path, you know, nothing legally holding you back. But it does scream the fact that they didn't take that seriously, because if you're judging by in-ring work and interest and importance, like, it, this is your wake up call to say, this is just a thing in the company and we're not really give a shit, because and I'll go so far as to say, we're just going to rent young ladies that didn't sound great, but hear me out. We're going to rent young ladies for pro wrestling purposes to, you know, kind of fill this out. I honestly can't imagine any of this being a reality 2 or 3 years from now, right? Like, I feel like this was a placeholder. It was a thing to fill out a card, and then we're just going to fucking forget about it. And this is kind of like the beginning of that to me. Anyway.
We have Tomohiro Ishii, who's going to be hanging around All Elite Wrestling for a while longer. Okay. So Tony Khan said that he is going to stay with them for the rest of summer 2024. So that's a good move all round. I think he's someone who will be enjoyed and appreciated over in the States. So I think that's a good bit of business.
Yep. I'm in my last bite to my burrito. Yeah, I know a lot of people were disappointed with him not being in G1, but we kind of let you know that physically it's probably not the best idea. I don't think it's a matter of output or New Japan was disappointed in them and in him in any way. But I think he's tailor-made for, like, American, what do you call it? Ameriso? Or, yeah.
Amaris?
Yes. Amaretta? Like, he's tailor made for that. Like he'll be fine. Like I'm not worried about him. And hopefully he gets a couple of nice paydays. Right? I just don't think he could handle the grind of G1. And once again, to hammer the point home, I am so thrilled with what's happening with G1. It's mind-boggling how happy I am with the direction they're going. And if that means Tomohiro Ishii, who everyone, you know, loves the output, if that means he has to take a backseat to a guy who is not sniffing the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Let's get that out of our fucking heads and that pipe dream. It's not 2018. I think it's a good thing. He's got work. He'll make probably more money. And everyone can get their fucking boner watching him deliver his hard strikes while at the same time, dare I say, the real fans will watch G1. How about that?
And I lastly wanted to give a little plugaroo to Chris Samsa,
who
has opened the biggest and best New Japan G1 Climax unofficial pick and pull.
Great job.
So him and I think it's Jeremy Sexton from Voices of Wrestling have created a fantastic interactive pick'em site. So got tons of new features. The tables update and reorder as you make your pick, so you can see your live scores. Wow. There are stats and info drop downs for each match. You can save your spot and then come back to it later. You can go back and edit your picks anytime until the tournament starts. And then when you field in your block stage, that sets up the knockout stages, including tiebreakers,
God,
going through to the latter stages of the tournament. So yep, they've worked incredibly hard on it. You can find that over at sportofprowrestling.com.
Chris Samsa is a treasure. Like, let's be very clear. Treasure. And I will go so far as to say this. Well, let me ask you, Joel. Minus the Super J-Cast, which is the, dare I say, the most influential piece of media when it comes to New Japan Pro Wrestling here in the States. You could hate us. I don't give a shit. Go fuck your mother. And here's the thing, too. I don't like the fucking nonsense I'm reading on Twitter about somebody put, you're very arrogant, Joel. And I was like, yep, he is. Fuck you. I loved it. I was like, yep, you finally got it, dickhead.
Yeah, they.
Yeah. You know what? I love it. Yes.
Significant specks of feculent scum.
Piece of shit. And it's all Twitter. Like they're just fucking dorks. Anywho. Chris, who was the most influential and important person when it comes to New Japan Pro Wrestling voice here in the United States and Western England, Australia, all that? Who would you say?
I don't know. I feel like there are sort of different voices filling up different corners of the fandom at the moment.
Yeah.
But you are setting this up to throw some flowers at Chris Samsa, and I'm all in favor of that.
It is one. Who else besides us? No. Well, I mean, listen, I will say this. It's like when it comes to talking about this, and I'm going to throw some flowers to keep in a strong style, because I remember when they started, and they started when me and what the fuck was that guy's name? Me and was the guy I did the show with before?
Colin,
of course.
How could you, Damon? That's unforgivable. Poor Colin.
I'm terrible with names. I forgot. Me and Calm. When we ended, they were like, "All right, we'll take care of this. We got this." And they've kept going. And I told them the hardest part is doing it every week, right? Doing it continuously. And they did it also during the same time as we did as well. When it comes to, clap crowds and all that nonsense, look, they did it. So I got to give all the credit in the world. Still not as good as us because you don't have me and Joel, but that's okay. It's okay. But
I like keeping
you like them stuff. Yeah. I did too. Like I told them, I was like, during that hiatus, I was like, guys, you guys are it. And the fact that they kept going, I think is really the thing. Like the fact that every week, no matter what happens, boom, they're doing it. So I think I would put them in that category. Chris, I think, has to be in that category. I'm trying to think who else.
You throw any love at the Stiffies? Remember the We Work Stiff podcast?
Yes. But here's the thing, because I enjoy listening to them. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they have a nice chemistry, right? And I'm being truthful and honest. I don't have a ton of time to listen to a lot of stuff. And I will say this as well. Like, I try not to listen to a lot of New Japan stuff because I don't want that to influence my opinion on what I've seen, right? Because I think that's important. I think the people that listen to this want to hear me, you, and a non-diluted opinion. So I do try to not, right? But I think everything I've heard has been great. I guess my point is this. Like, the guy's working out of his own fucking pocket when it comes to setting up a unbelievably user-friendly site for G1 Pick'ems. And I know that it's not as hot as it was, and I know that, you know, the amount of people that might be involved in it is less. I understand that. But here's the thing. To dedicate their time and effort into doing something like that is pretty great, you know? So, yes, as Joel said, what is it? Sport of wrestling? What is it? Sport of pro wrestling. That's where you need to go. And you need to get involved. And it's fun. And even if you shit the bed and you lose every fucking, you know, you didn't pick anything, it's still fun.
Hey, right. Let me throw something out here. Right. I think Chris was sort of fishing around for prizes.
Oh.
Could we prizes for winners? How about, and you shoot this down if this is a shit idea.
I'm not sucking anyone's dick. Winner. I'm just telling you right now. I'm not doing it.
The winner of the Pick'ems, if they want, you know, they might not be interested in this at all, but the winner of the Pick'ems can have a little cameo on the Super J cast.
Wow. Wow. We're opening the fucking door, are we? Okay. How about this? Yes. Yes. If you win Chris Sams's G1 Pick'ems, if you were number one, we'll give you a block of time. We'll record it, put it up on the show. As long as you're not a fucking maniac, right?
Like, no, I think even if they are a fucking maniac,
really? We let them on here. Open platform.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're not allowed to challenge any of their viewpoints or opinions. We have to agree with everything they say.
How long? How long of a spot? 5 minutes?
3 hours.
What? 3 hours?
Yeah.
No. How about?
Look at us getting precious with our time.
We are
41 minutes. 41 minutes. We've not talked about any New Japan.
We really haven't. How about this? I'll give you. How about 10 minutes? 10 minutes? We're not going to disagree. It's your platform. You can talk. And again, we're going to put a disclaimer that this is this fucking person's opinion, right? Because I don't want any fucking nonsense, you know, no racism, no fucking nonsense. But you get 5 minutes with us. And we're going to – and but here's the thing. I'm burping a lot. That burrito's fucking hit me. It's going to be interview style, right? It's going to be me and you interviewing, right?
Yes. Yeah.
No?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So 5 minutes, Joel, Damon, interview style. The floor is yours if you win G1 Pick'ems. That's fair. All right. Boy, we're opening ourselves up really fucking wide here, dude. We are.
What about instead of us interviewing them?
Yep.
They have a 10-minute conversation on the podcast with Esther. Or Scrumpy.
You know what? I love it.
Well, Mally, just think all the different directions that could go in.
Yes. Okay. So let's do this. 5 minutes with Mally, right? She's got to agree, obviously.
This sounds like something I have indecent proposal.
Yeah.
No, I don't like this anymore. I don't like it.
Think she's going to get propositioned? Wait.
No, she would have zero interest in that.
Exactly. She'd be like, this fucking nerd. Right. Here's the thing. I would love to hear her browbeat this fucking loser. Right? Wouldn't that be great? If she turned the tables and was like, you fucking dork. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great radio.
Yeah, then everyone could be on Twitter calling her arrogant
for a change. Exactly. All right. We'll figure something out. But I'm in full agreement. If they win, we'll figure it out. But, you'll get a little block on the Super J-Cast. How about that? That's good. That's a good spot.
Yes.
That's a good spot.
Right. Can we talk about wrestling now?
No.
It's 10 o'clock at night.
I know. All right. Go ahead. Go.
Right. Let's discuss New Japan Seoul.
Okay.
Which took place in Japan, somewhere, not exactly sure where. I'm trying to translate the page to English. Yeah. So, of course, this was in the Tokyo Budokan, which is not in Tokyo. It's in, what is it, Adachi? Was that the name of the place?
Yeah.
They got attendance of 2,423 people. I'm going to skip through the undercard and let's just... Well, actually, first, I wanted to say, I want to throw some love at someone who usually I criticize because it's fun and I like to think about him listening to this and getting annoyed and upset. But I think Chris Charlton has actually done a pretty great job with the commentary when he's been flying solo for these shows. I think he's been really good. And I also think that TJP, who I know is a very divisive character, I think he was excellent on color commentary for this show.
Right.
And he brought just so many different interesting and thoughtful angles to the matches. And like talking about, I don't know, Callum Newman's football background and how that impacted the way he wrestled, or how guys are going to set up their finishing moves, how he's going to set up the Oscar. Talking about like the hot and humid weather conditions and how that would affect the way the matches play out.
Yeah.
I thought he was brilliant at that. Really, he was. And he's someone who I would like to hear on color commentary again in future. He's a very strange and interesting guy, TJP. I'd say like 60 to 70% of his ideas are great, like an amazing creative mind, but just occasionally needs someone to sort of rein him in and go, no, TJ, that's a shit idea. Don't do that.
Okay.
But I want to throw flowers and say he's good at a lot of stuff and color commentary is one of them.
Yep. 1,000% agree. And I think that is the sweet spot for emergency color commentating on New Japan Pro Wrestling shows, right? And again, we're throwing flowers. TJP deserves that. Absolutely, 1,000%. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, it reminded me a little bit of when Robbie Eagles was on color commentary. Like, I like when wrestlers, guys that are in the ring and active, kind of give that little bit of, again, you mentioned, like, the humidity. Like in every other athletic event, like, that would play a factor, especially if you're not used to it in the Japanese summer. I liked it. As a matter of fact, I loved it. Like, that is, like, I don't want comedy. I don't need you to be witty. I don't need you to have snappy comebacks. I don't need you, like, that's what we want. I'm speaking for me, but, like, that's what I want. Like, that. Those are the things that I, like, if you can incorporate real athletic events with your pro wrestling, I'm fucking all in. I don't need you to be the, like, again, trying to always go for the fucking punchline and, like, ugh, you're at fucking, at best, 5% when it comes to that. That's the shit that I really feel like people can lean into. Chris Charlton, I will comment on that as well. It's very difficult to talk to yourself into a microphone knowing, like, okay, here's a perfect example. Like, when your microphone goes out and I have to vamp, right? And I'm just fucking riffing. It's not that for me. I'm just literally, there's no filter. I'm just fucking talking, right? But I know that this is going nowhere, and if anything I say is totally preposterous, I know that Editor Dan is there to fucking clean up the mess, right? I know that. Live broadcast for Chris. And every day he gets better. Do I still like him in the historical context, third mic guy? Yes. But are you going to fly in somebody? Let's put it this way. If they're not flying in Walker, who are they flying in, right? Well, no. Why would they? Chris is your guy. And I think he's done an admirable job in a quite honestly, like, we would sit here and talk about Kevin Kelly and be like, and we would like eat his ass over the fact that he was doing all these shows solo. I think Chris has done a, maybe not as good a job, but like he kept the boat afloat, and that's not an easy thing to do for an hour and a half, 2 hours. So I got to tip my cap to him, even though he's let me down more than a few times. I'm letting you know, Chris, you let me down. Even with that, I'm giving you the flowers, buddy. Giving you the flowers, you fucking elf. I'm kidding, of course. Hey, did you see? Wait, did you see the video of him going into a New Japan Pro Wrestling event at Corkin and how to work like the tickets and all that? Did you see that video?
Yes, pulling lots of very funny face expressions.
Yeah, he's really did. Terrible actor. Terrible. But he looked good. He looked good. He looked like $1 million. You know what? If I ever get back to Tokyo, which I will, I'm going to give him a big hug. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, you know what?
I'm going to give him a kiss on the cheek.
Oh, nice. All right. No, what else you want to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling style?
Right. This is Callum Newman against Yoshi Ohashi. Mm. So this was 11 minutes, 59 seconds. Callum Newman winning via Samson Clutch. And Callum Newman earned his spot in the G1 Climax A block. This was good. I'd liked having Akira and Great Okan and TJP ringside to cheer on Callum Newman. Sort of made it feel like a big deal and sort of immersing us in that world of the factions and making it feel like a sort of living, breathing thing. And it just occurred to me watching this, like, when was the last time Yoshihashi was working a singles match on top? Because usually he's nearly always the underdog babyface, but him sort of working a different style here was really interesting. And I thought that in this spot, like this, tournament final would be Ishii, given the history he's got with Newman. But I thought Yoshihashi did well to show his value, his versatility here, being able to slide into that role. And be a bit of a coin flip, because he would have been an equally valid addition to the A block. But Callum here, I think, showed a bit more range by getting the win with this clutch to show he's capable of sort of outmaneuvering and, you know, nicking a win rather than having to rely on the Oscutter to finish people. And I'd be really interested to see how he develops in terms of his moveset if he continues to use the Oscutter as his finisher, because obviously that is a deliberate choice to echo his mentor, Will Ospreay. But I think there's a lot of interesting narrative things they could do with that, and sort of, I don't know whether that would happen during this tournament, but hypothetically something like him landing the Oscutter and it doesn't work and he's thinking, oh shit, I can't just copy my mentor's moves, I've got to come up with my own stuff now. So I think there could be some interesting stories told. I don't know whether it would be in this G1 climax, but I mean, him as the youngest G1 entrant, that's a big feather in his cap. He is absolutely capable of working that style, and I'm just now interested to see what levels he has got. Is he capable of, you know, having those outstanding banger matches that we love to see in the Grade 1 Climax? We've seen glimpses of it, and he's young. He may not be ready for it, but this is the best way to learn, isn't it? Just to throw him in at the deep end and get those reps in.
Yep. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I truly believe that the guy could go at the drop of a hat. And the idea of, oh, we got to build you up to make you a New Japan Pro Wrestling kind of – like, a lot of those fundamentals and skills he's already got, right? I think the biggest thing that I took away from this, and also the next match I'm sure we'll talk about, Joel, I love the big, sweaty, fucking drop down to your knees set of fucking balls New Japan Pro Wrestling has right now. Like, we sat here on a show last week talking about, okay, they really feel like we're moving in the right direction, and the fucking set of balls. Guess what? We sat here and we're like, you know, if we could take one out of two, we'd be doing cartwheels in the street. They are leaning so hard into, okay, this is our new direction. And no one expects Callum Newman to be over 500, let alone, you know, go deep into this tournament. He's going to lose more than he wins. And I'm totally okay with it. Because what you did was you set the bar of getting into this tournament high, right? He's a young guy who may not have a ton of miles on his body. And he is a guy that can have really great matches. Modern pro wrestling, great matches. I think it's a great choice. And it's weird because Yoshihashi, I don't know. Here's what I'll say. It's amazing how people's perceptions of pro wrestlers rarely change. And the idea of a guy being elevated and a guy not necessarily being the same guy he was in 2019 or 18 or whatever. Like if I felt like going into the match that Yoshihashi kind of was not an underdog, but not given his due respect, we'll call it that, right? I thought both guys did really good. I don't think it was a great match, but I thought both guys did really great. There was a part of me that felt bad for Yoshihashi in the sense of, one, I felt like he should have been in G1, period, right? But also the fact that this is not Hiroshi Tanahashi. This is not, you know, an A-level New Japan pro wrestling star putting over the young gun. This was a guy that has struggled and has fought and has earned every ounce of position on a pro wrestling card that he could. And even he was willing to say, okay, I know what's right, and I'm going to lie down. Again, this is not a shoot, right? But we know pro wrestling and the arrogance and the feeling more value than you actually are when it comes to pro wrestlers. Yoshihashi could have been like, fuck you. I'm not doing this. Put somebody else in this position. He did. He lied down for the betterment of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So while everyone is kind of excited and we're ready to fucking go and blah, 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 and all that, like, I want people to stop and recognize all those people, all those pro wrestlers who, let's be very clear, didn't have to put over a fucking soul. And we know people who didn't and are doing comedy bullshit. These guys did, right? So Yoshihashi gets my utmost respect in the sense that here's a guy that's fighting for and clawing for everything that he's gotten and was willing to say, okay, for the betterment of New Japan Pro Wrestling, I'm going to lie down. Good for Yoshihashi. And you know what? The young lady who is in tears and maybe had a great week and all, I'm here for you, girl. I'm here for you, girl. I'll buy a beer. I'll buy a shot. Get a hug. We'll do it all. I'm here for you because your guy made it happen.
Yeah, we had Oleg Bolton defeating Taichi in 16 minutes, 27 seconds with his kamikaze move. So Oleg will participate in the G1 Climax B block. And I thought that with Callum Newman winning the first match, I thought that Taichi was winning this match. So,
me too.
And look, I said about, I don't know, 18 months ago that I didn't want Oleg Bolton to be presented as just a regular young lion. I think he needed to be differentiated somehow to show that he was special. We've had to wait for a bit, but he's still a young lion. you know, as of this match, you know, being presented with the Black Trunks and the Young Lion music, now he's in the Grade 1 climax. And that is a hell of an achievement. That is very, very exciting. And I thought the match was great. It was a really nice little story of Oleg overcoming the veteran, the hard-hitting veteran Tai Chi, you know, at the start of the match. Couldn't even lift him, couldn't get him up, couldn't stand and trade strikes with him. He was getting his head kicked in. Getting ground down, stretched by the stretch plum. He had to dig deep, capitalize on Tai Chi's injured rib, use his power, use his technique to out-muscle Tai Chi. And Tai Chi, man, what an outstanding performance from him. Both just the way he carried himself, his demeanor, being this pissed off, angry veteran about, you know, being excluded from the G1 in the first place and having to enter this qualifying tournament. And brilliant selling of the injured rib, which played into the match a lot of key moments down the stretch. And just a little taste of what we're missing with Tai Chi not being in the G1. Yeah. That's very sad for me. A real coming out party for Oleg, who I think here showed a fourth gear in firing up and working Tai Chi's rib and busting out some new moves. He did the F5, or the Verdict, as it was known in New Japan, in the closing stretch there. And Bolton's a guy who's not been given many matches of any real depth or length for him to show his chops here. Why did she do it? Why did she cough?
Really coughing.
So until this match, I wasn't really sure what Oleg was capable of, because we just hadn't seen it. He hadn't been given those opportunities yet. But, you know, if this is what he can do, this is a very encouraging start. I mean, I've got an idea of what sort of stylistic matches would be best for him, but this was really very good. So, yeah, I'm very sad about Tai Chi not being in it. I'm a big Tai Chi fan, and I think he still has a hell of a lot to offer. I think he's a brilliant, underrated, underutilized, underappreciated wrestler. But I can compartmentalize that and say, this is the right move. This is exactly what New Japan should be doing with guys like Oleg. He needs to be, rather than say, oh, he's not ready, he's not quite ready, and then send him on excursion and wait to see, oh, maybe he's ready now. No, you throw him in, and this is how you become ready. Yep. By taking part in the Grade 1 climax. To the extent which, you know, I think maybe he should get the glow up now. You know, is he going to come out for his first block match with new gear and new music? Maybe. I think that's a conversation to be had. But yeah, very excited to see what Oleg can do in G1. And I think this is a very bold move and the right move. And also leaves me wondering about Tai Chi. What's next for him? Because he said backstage he may not be a spot for me anymore in New Japan. So perhaps he would be a nice addition to, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if Noah would be interested. He can guest spot in the N1. I don't know. I like seeing Tai Chi wrestle. And I hope he's able to find somewhere he's happy wrestling. You know, this is not me saying, oh, he's done with New Japan. This could just be a massive work. He might have said, like, sorry, guys, I don't fancy being in G1 this year. I'm going to sit this one out, put someone else in. We don't know. We don't know anything about that. It could be a physical thing. You know, maybe, I think Kevin Kelly alluded to this on Twitter, that he's having back issues and is not able to go through the grind of being in the G1. And if that is the case, that this is something, you know, he's willingly set out of. He's done a hell of a job in selling his frustration and resentment at being excluded from it. And that helped to elevate this spot and this moment for Oleg Bolton. Just fantastic work all around.
I mean, G1 is a young man's tournament. I don't think people appreciate the grind of G1, like, especially if you're new to it or you just parachute in and out of New Japan throughout the year. G1 is a young man's grind. If you have injuries and if you're banged up, it's a tough fucking thing to do. I remember one time I talked to AJ Styles about G1. And he was like, I have a fitness routine before G1. That's over and above what he would normally do. Just in you know, an early New Japan Pro Wrestling calendar. And like the amount of cardio and the amount of fitness that he puts himself through to get himself for that grind is, I was like, whoa, gotta be fucking kidding me. And even he said to me that the buildings themselves are worn, like, okay, so you're in the back and you know your match is next up and you're warming up, but you even go into another gear because you know that when you get out there, you are under humidity, heat. Like, these aren't fully air conditioned. Like, it's not like Western air conditioning where it's like it's fucking pumping, and you know, it zaps you of your energy. So you almost have to do, you know, double of what you normally would when it comes to getting yourself ready for a tournament like this. Tai Chi's one of those guys that more than just about everyone, like everyone you can make an excuse for, okay, they're washed, as the kids would say. And we're going to put over younger talent. This guy's hurt a lot and we're just going to give him a break. We're not going to put him through the meat grinder of G1. This person is whatever. Tai Chi should have been in it. I'm sorry. Even though that, yes, in a kayfabe sense, what have you done for me lately? I get that. Like, it felt weird for me to have him specifically fighting to get in, number one, and two, you know, obviously not making it. Now, that said, would you want a Tai Chi? Would you want a Yoshihata? Like, I think it's fair to say that both of those gentlemen who got in are probably going to be people who lose more than they win. Is it worth it to New Japan Pro Wrestling to say, okay, Tai Chi, you're losing more than half of your matches? Or, hey, rest up, get well, get fit, and we'll see you afterward. And that's the one thing that kind of talks me into, okay, this is a good thing that he's not in. But once again, Joel, for as much as we complained, bitched, moaned, pointed out, the company grew a set of fucking balls, dude. And the fact that they're saying, okay, we're going to put these guys in over, let's be clear, established names, I think it's tremendous. I think it's I don't want to blow this out of proportion. I feel like I'm more excited for this G1 than many in recent memory. I'll put it that way. Because of the possibilities and the matches and the young blood that's in there. Do I want Tai Chi in? Yes. I think he's a guy that probably should have had a slot in there. But the fact, once again, that he was willing to say, okay, I'm in it for the betterment of the company. And you know what? Let's be truthful. I might not be able to handle the grind of G1. Let's let somebody else who is more capable physically of making the grind put him in. That is unselfishness that, let's be clear, I don't want to say that it's rare in pro wrestling, but I think we all can point our fingers at instances and times when the name ain't going to do that, brother. Right? So I got to tap my cap to Tai Chi as well for the fact that he was A, willing to do this, B, understood what the situation was, and C, use his name for whatever it's worth to put over a guy who needs it. So I was surprised by the end of the night, dude. I'm not gonna lie. Cause I thought we've seen the peak of New Japan Pro Wrestling leaning into this. Nah, we had two more matches that helped solidify that thought process. And I think it's a great thing. I think it's a fresh thing. I couldn't be more excited.
Now, with all we've said about a lot of veterans doing a lot of very selfless work and working really hard to make these young guys look good and put them over, Do you think there is a minimum point score that Callum and Bolton need to earn in the G1 to validate this tournament? Because if they go 0-9, then it kind of makes all those guys like Ishii and Taichi and TJP and Yoshihashi look like shit, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, you're getting them to the dance, but you're standing in a corner, right? You're not really at the dance. I don't think anybody's going over. But I think it's a safe gamble to say that both of those guys are probably not going over 500, right? They're probably going to be under 500. And I think that's okay. Like, I think that you're going to have them get wins to help set up future programs. But I'm not expecting them to be, like, in the semifinals or finals, and nor should they be.
No, I think like at least I want at least three wins, and I think one of them would have to be like a signature win. It's got to be in a big spot against an opponent that was, you know, maybe a bit of an upset where that's going to stick in your mind as, wow, I can't believe Bolton beat this guy at Corican Hall, or I can't believe Callum beat this guy in Osaka or whatever.
Right. I think the minimum is three.
Yeah.
And I would also say, I would want just a future program for both of them. Like, as long as by the end of G1, we have a clear direction for both of them of, okay, this guy's going for the NEVER title, or this guy, you know, beat X and there's a built-in feud here, or whatever. Like, I just don't want them to lose just for points' sake. I would rather have something like, if they're going to get three wins, yes, one of them should be significant. And I would like it to be against an established person who, once again, in a singles environment, can give them even more knowledge. Make the losses valuable. That's really the key. Make the losses valuable. I make the wins even more valuable. I'm not expecting anything over five wins for either of them. But make the wins mean something. So at the end of the day, we could sit here after G1, after we're done stroking ourselves over the finals, that we can say, okay, Callum Newman has this program. Oleg Bolton has this program. And we can be excited by that. Like, that's really what I want out of this G1 for both of them.
That'll bring us on to the next match, which was the Naito and Bushi triumphant return match, where we had Bushi, Shingo Takagi, and Tetsuya Naito going to a 30-minute time limit draw with Titan, Hiromu Takahashi, and Yota Tsuji. It was a good match, fun match, and it just raised questions in my mind about whether or not New Japan are leaving significant money on the table by not having guys like Hiromu and Naito and Shingo and Tsuji feud with each other. Now, that being said, they are getting a bit more loose with that than they used to be. Like, for example, Naito versus Tsuji facing each other at Sakura Genesis. And, you know, Tsuji said that he will fight all of these guys. So that could be something that's changing in the future. And I was sort of watching the Shingo and Titan sequences thinking, oh, this is good. And then I remembered that they were in the same Best of the Super Juniors block in 2019. But this was a historic match in as much as it was the first time Naito and Hiromu were on opposite sides of the ring. And then afterwards, Hiromu said, I mean, that was the sort of centerpiece of the match. And they were sort of going back and forth, exchanging pinfalls as it went, the final seconds ticked away. And backstage, Hiromu said he wants to win the NEVER title tour and face Naito while Naito is still IWGP champion in a champion versus champion match. And I was wondering to myself, is that something that they've sort of missed the boat on, Naito versus Hiromu? Of course, they planned to have it at the anniversary show 4 years ago. Was it ever anything more than just a fun anniversary main event that they were just thought, oh, we'll just throw a bone to the fans, this will be fun? Because it feels like, with that being cancelled, it's built up in people's minds as being this like huge, titanic money match that almost feels like it's been built up so much it's bound to end up being a disappointment. But yeah, how do you feel about the match and just the placement of these guys and the Naito Hiromu prospects?
I mean, I kind of was... I think everybody knows my opinion about factions and like how in many cases I'm quick to hand wave. If they're going to make Hiromu more of like this tweener heavyweight, junior heavyweight, I would think that the idea of giving Hiromu more big spotlight wins over heavyweights would be paramount. And it shouldn't just lie on the shoulders of the relationship in LIJ, right? Unless your focus is to not have LIJ anymore. I'll tell you what I came out of this. It feels like there's a shifting of the guard, at least from a maybe not importance, I don't want to say, but it felt like there was a conscious effort to take the idea of faction leader and faction boss, if you will, away from guys like Naito and maybe putting a little bit more spotlight on other guys, which might lead to, you know, factions being no more. LIJ is, I mean, when did Naito really lean into his current gimmick? Was that like 18 or 19?
I think it was 2016 when he did the Ingobernable character.
Okay. So, I mean, it's becoming a little bit long in the tooth in the sense of, you know, in pro wrestling years or like dog years. I don't know. I felt like there was a conscious effort to move the needle, even though we're talking about the IWGP heavyweight champion. It did feel like there was a little bit of shift toward maybe a splintering or maybe an idea of having people not necessarily being in the faction. And I'm for it. Like there, to me, there's nothing more boring than the idea of these individual factions, because I feel like you handcuff yourself. I thought the match was good. I don't think it was great, but I thought it was good. And maybe even more important, it was interesting. And it was presented in a way that you knew it was something different. And it was something, I mean, again, I don't want to use the word special in the sense of, you know, a monumental moment in pro wrestling history, but I don't know. Maybe I was overemphasizing it in my own head, but it did feel like a little bit of a change and a little bit of a we're going to move the spotlight. Now that could be just for one match, right? We could just reset and go back to normal LIJ. But I liked it. Like I liked the idea of, I don't know, maybe fresher faces being the spotlight. Now, I say that. Naito still draws him in. Naito still is a cornerstone for New Japan Pro Wrestling ticket sales. But I couldn't help but think, with all the talk about his medical and health well-being, that maybe this was a moment in, you know, somebody put down a flag and said, okay, here's where we start thinking more about this guy. And whether that's Hiromu, whether that's whomever, I've said it for for years that the biggest thing holding back Hiromu is height. That's really it. We'll see. I mean, New Japan Pro Wrestling is steeped in tradition and steeped in doing things a certain way. I don't know. Maybe all of this feel good about pushing younger talent. Maybe. We're also having a little bit change of philosophy when it comes to heavyweights versus juniors. And I'm here for that.
Let's now discuss the main event of the show, which was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match, where the challenger, Doki, upset win over the champion, El Desperado, yet again in his first defense. 21 minutes, 14 seconds, suplex de la Luna, and Doki becomes the 97th champion.
All right.
You go first, Damon. What did you make of this?
Army or Twizzler?
I'll talk then. So
yeah, no, because and I will say this. I know you're a big fan, and I know that of both guys. I'm curious to hear your take as I chew. Were you surprised? And B, did you think that like your percentages going into this? Where did you think there was even a fucking snowball's chance in hell that this was going to happen?
No. I mean, this was a massive shock to me. Although, if you look at the way that Doki has been booked this year, maybe it shouldn't have been such a shock, because he has had a sustained push with a lot of big wins and go deep in Best of the Super Juniors. So this might have just been one of those things that was staring us in the face, but just seemed on paper so implausible that we just disregarded it as a possibility until it actually happened. Especially with, the narrative building up between Despy and Doki, that sort of big brother dynamics of them, formerly being in Suzuki-gun together and Doki never having been able to beat Despy before. But, I mean, the conclusion surely has to be, Damon, that New Japan is confirmed a body company. Is it coincidence that Doki wins the concurso and is now junior champion? Oh, absolutely not. I mean, the match was... it's very good. It wasn't a great match. I don't think it's going to be on anyone's match of the year shortlists. And the finish was surprisingly abrupt. I think that's what caught me off guard. It didn't really build into that sort of crescendo where, you might typically expect guys reversing finishes and trading finishes and all that stuff. And in kind of a narrative sense, I thought they would have been more of a chase for Doki to get this title rather than just what felt like winning it out of the blue. And it's just something I think worth celebrating. And everyone's talking about it, of course, how Elliot's written down to say, is there anyone who came into New Japan with a lower stock than Doki who then won the big one? And I can't think of anyone, because this is a real sort of rags to riches story of a guy who was just a nobody on the Mexican Indies and late replacement for Despy himself, who had broken jaw, dislocated jaw, get punched in the face by Jun Kasai prior to the 2019 Best of the Super Juniors. So just a incredible story. And I've been on this podcast years ago saying that, from day one, I appreciate Doki and I like what he brought to the table. I wasn't out here in the streets during the 2019 Best of the Super Juniors saying, let's belt this guy up, he's going to be a future champion. But a few years later I did. I can definitely recall sitting down and talking to you saying, they've got something with this guy. He's a talent and he's got that crowd connection. He's getting that sort of cult hero status. His work is improving. He's putting a lot of effort into his conditioning, his shape. So that's one to keep an eye on. So I shouldn't really be surprised by this. Yeah, I am. And I think maybe part of that is the fact that he's beaten Despy for it, that Despy yet again has lost the title after failing to successfully defend it. So his booking has been a little bit strange this year. I know he's won Best of the Super Juniors, but it just feels a little bit weird. There's a lot of title hot shotting going on, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Right. I was shocked that they did that. more shocked that he did that than maybe even Oleg and Callum going into G1. Like, I was legitimately wide-eyed, mouth open. What? And we sat here and we talked last week about how, you know, here's a guy, and you said it, rags to riches, right? No one, when we first saw him, thought in any way, shape, form, or fashion, we would be sitting here X amount of years later talking about IWGP heavyweight champion or junior heavyweight championship. And I understand that people in the hierarchy of pro wrestling titles might not necessarily be like, okay, IWGP junior heavyweight championship is right up there with the biggest of the big boy belts. I'll disagree, but I can understand where that thought might come from. I can't believe they did it. I truly can't believe they did it. There have been like guys that I've questioned in the past of, oh my God, they give this guy a title, they give it to fucking anybody. And I don't think that this is a bad choice, right? By no means. And truth be told, I'm actually really fucking excited for it. Like it was one of those things where I didn't think it was even a remote possibility. And the fact that they did it, I was happy, but I was also like, okay, are we now in are we at the point where we're leaning so hard into, oh, new stars across the fucking board that we would do this? And then I had to stop and really reevaluate what that meant to New Japan Pro Wrestling, in the sense that I think a lot of people still have this indie sleaze doki in their head. And once again, the hardest thing in pro wrestling is to reverse or eliminate or change people's perceptions of a pro wrestler. It's the hardest fucking thing to do. It's not like, to me, that's harder than bringing a guy in and making him a star, or you know, taking a guy that's considered, you know, fucking lower card, and then making fans and everyone alike think of them as a legitimate champion worthy wrestler. This guy fucking put in his miles, man. This guy fucking put in a ton of work. And he overcame every obstacle in New Japan and every obstacle that they threw at him. It's not like he's going out there and beating fucking Jay White, and he's going out there and beating Will Ospreay, and he's going out there and beating Hiroshi Tanaka. No. But in the same breath, this is a title that has a lot of fucking prestige. And the fact, I mean, again, even with some of the people that have held this fucking title that you might, you know, looking back in history, you'd be like, oh, what the fuck? The fact that they had once again, I've said it many times, the balls to do this, number one. And then two, Doki being a guy who wasn't considered even remotely in that picture to be a guy who is now holding the strap. Like that is the quintessential rags to riches story. I'm happy for the dude. I'm proud of the dude. Would this be a move that I would have done? Probably not. If I'm being honest, probably not. But in the same breath, you know, I was going to say something. Well, I'll say what I was going to say. Is El Desperado like the needle mover that we need in the junior division? Probably one of the better options, right? I don't know if he's a needle mover,
And I don't know if that title in and of itself is a needle mover. I appreciate the fact that they had the balls to do it. Would I have done it? Maybe not. But I appreciate the fact that they did it. And I appreciate the fact that a dude who nobody gave a fucking shit about. And if they gave a shit about him, it was total fucking irony. You know, trying to be the funny fucking guy. You know, love a donkey. And he turned that around. How many people can you point a finger at that have done that? Not a lot. I got to give them all the credit in the world. So I'm excited for the possibility of new matchups. I'm actually excited for what El Desperado has next. I would not be surprised if they just hot potatoed the title, be honest with you. But the fact that they had the balls to do it, I got to give them all the credit in the world. Would I have done it? No. But got to give them – I got New Japan's on a roll, man. If you honestly can't feel it, that this change, this sizable change in the philosophy and the way in which we're going into the future, like, I don't know what I can do for you, man. I don't know what the fuck I can do for you. And I will say this. I don't think it's any coincidence that – and we get them. We get them all. Let me be very fucking clear. We get them all. Those little sneaky pictures of Kikuchi. You don't think Kikuchi has a hand in this?
Man's cooking. He's back at the grill.
He sure is. I really feel it. I do feel it. And if anyone needs to be excited about anything, know that Kikuchi is behind the fucking grill and he's flipping some fucking burgers and we're ready to go.
Multiverse A says, Joel, what was more satisfying for you, Doki winning the title or England making the Euro final? Woo! Yeah, England. I mean, nothing hits like your football team winning big matches, especially with that being a last-minute goal and everything. Although, not a million miles away. So, the last thing we need to talk about is Fantastica Mania USA, which is a funny little show. So, this will be on Saturday at the Mount Pleasant High School in San Jose, what? California.
The what? Yeah. Where?
The Mount Pleasant High School.
It's fuck high Mount school. Pleasant High School. They stink. I don't know why I'm just saying that. If you go to Mount Pleasant High School, I'm just kidding, of course. High school? Wow. We're talking
a high school.
We're talking old school WWF. You ever
watch high spots in a high school?
What, high spots in a high school? You ever watch old WWF TV taping shows? Be like Howard Finkel. Be like Saturday night, March 18th at Pleasantville High School. We have Dominic DiNucci. Like, well, who's paying for this?
Who's paying for this, right? Keep that question in your mind.
Oh, I mean, is this show available via the Ticketmaster? I wonder.
It is a pay-per-view show.
Oh, nobody.
If you want to watch Fantastic really? Mania USA, it's going to cost you $19 and that. 99 US cents. Well, let me read the card first.
Go ahead.
Ready?
Yeah.
So we're going to start off with a tag match. Wait, Adrian Quest. Am I looking at this correctly? I'm confused.
Are you looking at a show
website?
Are you looking at a show from 2 years ago?
I don't understand what I'm looking at. This fucking English website. Oh. I think it's a four-way match. Right, so we've got Adrian Quest versus the DKC. Mm-hmm. All the stars are here. Versus Viento versus Kukui.
Who?
Match two. We've got the MLW World Tag Team Championship.
Oh, great.
With the champions, Okamura and Satoshi Kojima, defending against the challengers, Rugido and Magnus. The third match was supposed to be Stephanie Vaquer, the CMLL World Women's Championship, Stephanie Vaquer against Juvia.
Uh-huh.
But Stephanie Vaquer has flown the coop and reneged on her contracted dates.
Racist.
So instead, we will have a three-way match with Willow Nightingale, Viva Van, and Juvia. Then the fourth match is a tag match with Bad Dude Tito and Zack Sabre Jr. against Virus and Hechicero.
Oh, God.
Fifth match, we have Yota Tsuji versus Barbaro Cavernario.
Oh.
Sixth match, Strong Openweight Championship, Gabe Kidd defending his title against Ultimo Guerrero. And main event is a Parejas Increíbles with Doki and Mystico against Rocky Romero and Volador Jr.
Rocky Romero.
Big man booking himself in the main event.
Dusty Rhodes. He's a fucking modern day Dusty Rhodes. He really is. God bless him.
Finding his way at the top of the card. Good for him.
There's some nice stuff in there, Damon. There's some nice matches. I ain't paying no $19.99 for it.
No shot. No shot. I mean, the internet is a weird fucking place. You'll stumble across it if need be. No, I'm not. I mean, let's be very clear. Fantastic Mania is not what I would call a marquee event on my New Japan Pro Wrestling calendar come late January and February.
How dare you, you fucking racist.
How dare you? What? No. I love Mexico. I literally am talking like a racist right now. Some of my friends I just hit a burrito. How can I be racist? It's just not my cup of tea. It's just not. The final night is usually pretty good, but overall, I'm like, meh. I don't look. Go down that card. Is there any match that you're like, ooh, that'll be great? No, there isn't. Right? It's filled in with a lot of placeholder New Japan Pro wrestlers. Right? On this show, how many New Japan Pro wrestlers are there?
We have, in terms of regular guys,
Zero.
Zack. Tsuji.
Okay, two.
Gabe Kidd.
Okay.
Doki.
Okay.
I'm not giving Rocky.
No, he doesn't count. Four.
Okay. Just saying.
Four.
Four.
Quattro.
Mr. International. Yes. I don't know. It's hard for me to fucking. Hey, look. Maybe this turns into the fucking the show of the year, and I'll watch the shit out of it. Saturday, right?
This Saturday. Yeah.
Look me in the eye. Tell me you don't have fucking something better to do on a Saturday night. Help me out, right? Come on. I'm giving it a pass. Sorry. I'm being honest. I'm giving it a pass. If it turns out to be great, I can always double back and watch. Not doing anything for me, my man. Not doing anything. Rocky Romero in the fucking main event. Come on. Get the fuck out of here. Come on. Stop it.
All right. Well, quite quick turnaround on the JCast because we're planning to be recording again on Monday.
I know.
A special guest to preview the G1. I'm not going to say who it is.
I'll say who it is. Jan Michael Vincent.
No, don't say don't say who it is. No.
I know. Okay.
I'm going to do a hilarious bit at the start of it. I've already planned it and everything. It's going to be deeply insulting to everyone and it's going to make everyone annoyed. So
I love it. All right. It is not Jan Michael Vincent. By the way, I just did that as a Rick and Morty reference only because I watched that episode. All right, I'm excited. I don't even know who it is, to be honest with you. So, all right, you got to go to bed, right? I got to I got to get something to eat, more to eat. And my wife can yell at me. And that's that.
Remember to take your sleepy medicine after she's yelled at you.
Duly noted. All right, goodbye.
Bye!
Hello, Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.